The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into NFL Live. Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, and the great Adam Schefter joining me, Field Yates. And we begin today with our top story as one less game is being played in Week 4 due to COVID-19. The Titans' Week 4 game against the Pittsburgh Steelers has been postponed to later in the season, and their practice facility remains closed after a fifth player and sixth team personnel tested positive for COVID-19 this week. Here's Titans head coach Mike Vrabel and how his players took the latest news.
I think that, I think they were somewhat shocked. They were, they wanted to play. They were preparing to play. But I think that they understood and realized why the decision was made. And, I think that they'll handle this like they do everything else. They'll handle it with professionalism. With the understanding and a compassion towards not only ourselves and those people that have been affected, but also Pittsburgh, the Steelers that were preparing for a game. And now we'll have their schedule changed as well.
Playing 13 straight weeks, and how tough will that be physically?
We do not care.
That was right to the point there from Mike Tomlin. And Shefty, what do we know at this point about when this game will eventually be played?
Well, here's the scenario that's the most likely one, Field. Right now, you're talking about moving this game, the Steelers-Titans game, to Week 7. Now, Week 7, the Steelers and Ravens were supposed to play. But here's what would happen in that particular case. Both teams could move back to Week 8. The Ravens are on a bye in Week 8, so it would be Steelers-Ravens in Week 8 with the Steelers-Titans moving from this week to Week 7. Now, this is contingent upon no more positive tests in Minnesota, the team that played the Tennessee Titans on Sunday in Minnesota. Because if the Vikings were to come up with positive tests, and I want to emphasize that as of this morning, they had no new positive tests, but as their team trainer, Eric Sugarman, warned that the sweet spot for this virus is 3, 4, 5 days into it, so they'll be waiting through Saturday and Sunday to see if there are any more positive tests that pop up from the game this weekend. If there are no more positive tests with the Vikings, then that Steelers-Ravens game is the most likely scenario to be moved back a week. If Minnesota tests positive, then the scheduling snafu really goes into effect, and it really throws things for a loop.
Well, we'll be hopeful for good news there, Shefty, out of Minnesota. This feels like a large game of scheduling Tetris. And Mike Vrabel was asked about the potential of playing 13 straight games to end this season. Take a listen.
I was part of a team in 2001 that had after the 9/11 incident, played 14 straight games and won the Super Bowl that year. So however many we have to play in a row, that's what we'll prepare for. But our focus, our singular focus is on the next week, which would be Buffalo.
You know, Vrabel actually undersold that just a little bit, as the Patriots actually played in 15 straight regular season games back in 2001. And, Shefty, we'll get to you first. I know you have something you want to add here before we get to Marcus and his perspective on playing that many games in a row. What more do you got?
Well, Phil, you raised a great point. I think there are some organizations and some coaches and some teams that wouldn't be as receptive and welcoming to this switch as the Tennessee Titans and Pittsburgh Steelers are with the right men at the top. You're talking about two leaders of men in Mike Tomlin and Mike Vrabel. They understand this. They get this. They're not going to complain about it. They're going to move on. And you heard Mike Tomlin say, we don't care when we play. These are the right two guys to have the right two teams involved in this situation for the first NFL regular season game to be rescheduled later in the season due to COVID.
Yeah, there is no right team to have to go through this because we don't want any team to go through this. But I do think if a game of follow the leader is applicable in football, this is one where the leaders in Mike Tomlin and Mike Vrabel are the right men. But Marcus, let's go to you. And the idea of playing 13 games in a row, that's hard on the body. What kind of disadvantage would these two teams be at if they do have to play these 13 straight games?
Well, the negative side, obviously, the disadvantage is you get beat up. And sometimes you sustain some of these injuries where in particular cases, a bye week would afford you the opportunity to not only heal up, but heal up at a faster rate. You can centralize your focus to getting guys back on the field. Listen, sometimes bye weeks are early in the season and guys play a long stretch of games. But when you have this situation, as we knew, this season could be compromised in a way by something like this. This is a different scenario because when you think about playing and then not playing, all bye weeks are planned, scheduled. Coaches produce a calendar and a schedule based on when those bye weeks are. There is planning that goes into that, and you kind of already have an idea of how you'll go about the season. It's a different scenario. This changed in the blink of an eye. So it's particularly difficult to play a number of games now as opposed to having a regular bye week.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the difference of quarterback and defensive lineman. Because I would have been like, no, not a big deal. Like, just go play your football games. Marcus's body is going to get beat up a lot differently. But, you know, the reality is this. Both these coaches, to Shefty's point and to your point, Field, like, they don't want excuses and they don't want explanations. They're just going to go play their football games. For people to understand, though, we as players, we're creatures of habit. You heard Mike Vrabel say, like, our singular focus is this week. And so we just kind of get into our routine as players, no matter if we played 10 games in a row, four games, like, hey, what's the next day? Today is Tuesday of an in-season. Today is Thursday of an in-season. So, you know, the players will respond. They will look at where they are right now, keep their feet on the ground and moving forward. And they've, to everyone's point, they've got great men leading them to allow them to focus on that.
Well, this is easy for me to say, sitting in a television chair, but this is the year where everybody has to do their small part. And I don't want to say just entirely dismiss excuses, but they're not going to be heard by a lot of people this year. We got to just power through. And a reminder that this is not the first time an NFL game has had to be postponed to a later week. It was only just 3 years ago that in 2017, the Bucs and Dolphins had to postpone their week one matchup all the way to week 11 due to Hurricane Irma. And back in 92, the Dolphins and Patriots had to postpone their week one matchup to week 7, also due to a hurricane. All four teams ended up playing 16 straight games in those seasons. There's other news around the league, and let's go back to Shefty for some of the top stories. And let's begin in Arizona with wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins.
For the second straight day, Field, DeAndre Hopkins, the Cardinals wide receiver, did not practice today due to an ankle injury. I asked somebody in the Cardinals organization if he would play, and they said, based on his history, they would think yes, but they're not 100% certain that he'll be able to go on Sunday, so we'll wait and see on DeAndre Hopkins, that ankle injury. Julio Jones had the hamstring injury that prevented him from playing last week against the Chicago Bears. He was back at practice today, which tells you that he is on track to play Monday night against the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. The Falcons certainly could use Julio in that matchup. And Marlon Humphrey, the Pro Bowl cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens, this morning signed a 5-year, $97.5 million contract extension that makes him the latest cornerback this offseason to be paid, joining Jalen Ramsey and Tre'Davious White and Byron Jones and Darius Slay and some of the other cornerbacks that have gotten some huge money this offseason, Field.
In my next life, I'm going to come back as an NFL cornerback or just have a shred of athleticism. If you look since 2017, where Marlon Humphrey stacks up amongst defensive backs in terms of most passes defensed, he's tied for third behind only Kyle Fuller and Darius Slay, one of the players that Adam mentioned is getting paid this offseason. And an emotional Marlon Humphrey talked about that brand new, nearly $100 million deal earlier on today.
My dad's, even though at a young age, he's really... And my dad's kept me in line. He's really, he's been my, since I was young, I told my dad I wanted to play in the NFL, and he never really let me slip.
Got a little dusty in the studio when we were watching that before the show, Marcus. That's what it's all about right there. These are special moments.
Yeah, man, listen, you think about the path and the track that you took, but the emotional part, and Dan can relate to this as well, is the people that help you get there. And we see Marlon talking about his father and reflecting on all of the things that it takes to get to that point. We get enamored with the money. We love to talk about how much money these guys make. You know I do. I love those big figures when they get them because I want every NFL player to get paid. But in those moments, man, it kind of all overwhelms you and it hits you about the love and the pushing and people putting you in position to end up where he is today. It's a beautiful thing to watch, man. He's a great player. He's young, going to continue to ascend. He's in a great organization. Ozzie Newsome drafted him, so he knew he would turn into that. But more importantly, man, just the appreciation for the people that helped him get to this point, and that's what you saw from Marlon there.
Yeah, that's well said. You never forget where you come from and never forget who allowed you to get where you are. And then I always try to make people to understand this. This is not a 3 or 4 year success story out of Marlon Humphrey. Like, this is when you're 7 years old, right? And everybody that sacrificed for you to get there, not just Marlon, but his mother, his father, everyone is a part of your journey. And this is 10, 12, sometimes 15 years of a journey to get to that single point of signing that extension. So congratulations to him and everyone that was a part of it.
Well, and every father can appreciate the great success of an NFL athlete, but you can certainly imagine how special this is for Marlon's dad, having played for a long time in the NFL himself as a very successful running back. And according to NFL Next Gen stats, Marlon Humphrey has played 47% of his coverage snaps in press coverage. His press rate is the highest in the league since 2017. This dude is always up to the challenge. The Jets host the Broncos tonight in a matchup of 0-3 teams looking to get something, well, anything going offensively. Adam Gase was expected to turn around the Jets offense, and that's clearly not been the case. This season, the Jets rank last in offensive efficiency, points margin, and yards per game. Not exactly high praise. And of course, all eyes will be on Adam Gase and his future. And Adam Schefter, what are you hearing about Gase's job security in New York, especially if the Jets lose tonight?
Field, it's come under question. There's no doubt about that. But as the losses and as the production mount up, or the lack of production mounts up, I think the more that happens, the more his future will be called into question. I think tonight is an opportunity for him to get his first win of the season, for his team to win their first game against a winless Denver team that's down to its third string quarterback. And if they were unable to win this game, you know the conversation in New York will go a certain way again. I think the Jets organization is stepping back, standing back and noticing from afar. You heard Chris Mortensen report on Sunday that not only is there external pressure and speculation on Adam Gase's future, but it also comes within the organization, according to Mort. So we will see. I think these games, particularly on a Thursday, which give a team more time, become three-hour referendums for team ownership to judge how the head coach and team are faring. I think in New York right now, anything is possible.
Yeah, especially if it's a humbling loss on national TV to a team down to its third-string quarterback. But I'll ask you, Dan, is this a must-win for Adam Gase tonight?
100%. Not only like a must-win, but the Jets need to look significantly different than they have their first 3 weeks. I've got three main issues with the Jets. First of all, they look unprepared. They look unprepared both energy-wise and scheme-wise. They don't look like they're ready to go play in NFL football games to start. And then scheme-wise, you know, like, what are you doing with your protection? Do you look like everybody on your offense is dialed in with your protection? How are you attacking defenses? You should not call a corner out by your number one receiver in the red zone when you have the ball in the middle of the field. It's way too far of a throw. This pick by Xavier Rhodes, he's covering the flat route that's there, and that ball comes out of Sam Darnold's hand on time, but he has so much room to play both those guys. That should not be a play call. Number two, that goes back to that play. You are setting Sam Darnold up to fail. You have not given him ability to play the way he should or set him up with success. We talk all the time about quarterbacks, and if they're really good to great quarterbacks, they should elevate the people around them. Take lesser talent, make them better. Well, if Adam Gase is that good of a coach, he should take some of the lesser talent because of injury or whatnot in their roster that is on the Jets and get them to play better. And it's not happening right now. I've been around really good offensive minds. Quarterbacks coach like Greg Knapp and Ron Turner always had us ready to play. We knew exactly what our game plan was. A coach like Gary Kubiak, no matter who was on the field at that time, always got our quarterback to play in rhythm. Or Sean McVay was brilliant in how he wanted to attack defenses. Those are brilliant offensive minds. Adam Gase's brilliant offensive mind has to show up for the Jets tonight to save his job.
Listen. If he wins this game, it shouldn't save his job. Let's be honest about who Adam Gase is, guys. Like, I'm tired of beating around the bush and thinking it's about three losses this season. He's a below-average coach. His record says he's below average. Ryan Tannehill going to Tennessee says he's below average when he signs a new contract and looks like an absolutely different quarterback. 2013, he got all of this juice being the offensive coordinator with the Broncos. They went to the Super Bowl and lost 43-8 to the Seattle Seahawks. Like, let's call it what it is. Adam Gase is not a good head coach, period. And look, we can keep playing this game and this revolving door about, oh, this week he got a chance and the Jets management. Johnson came out and said he was an offensive genius. When? When was he an offensive genius? When he wasn't around other guys that was creating, Mike Martz or Steve Mariucci bringing him in. Let's call it what it is. Adam Gase is a below average coach. And when you're a below average coach in the NFL like this today, that means you are not a good coach, because the great ones are going to expose you all the time. That's the bottom line. So win, lose, a third string quarterback with Denver, whether they look good or not, this is who Adam Gase is. This is who he's been.
Yeah, it's been hard to find any notable signs of progress under Adam Gase's leadership with the New York Jets. So maybe his time is borrowed. But Gase's job is not the only one in question going into this game, as the Jets and Broncos enter tonight's game with the second and third highest chance to get the number one overall pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. All three of the franchises you see, including the Giants, have invested draft capital into a quarterback in recent years, but it's fairly evident things are not going in the right direction, at least especially with the Jets right now in Sam Darnold's third year. Marcus, go right back to you. If the Jets end up with the first overall pick in the 2021 draft, and before people tell me we're getting too far ahead of ourselves, I don't care. We talk about the draft 365 days a year. If they do have the number one pick, should they take Clemson's Trevor Lawrence?
Yes, they should take him, and Sam Darnold should celebrate to the heavens that they taken him, because maybe he'll be ending up somewhere else where he'll actually have an opportunity to thrive. Do no more than look at Ryan Tannehill, Sam Darnold. That could be your future, and it could be a bright one.
I completely agree. First of all, Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-generation player, so that is a great thing for the Jets. And Marcus hits it on the head. Like, this would be the best thing that could happen to Sam Darnold. I want to challenge everybody. Find a situation where there was a quarterback drafted into the top 10, let's say. He's notably a bust in his first 4 or 5 years. Goes to a different team, and within his first year becomes a top 10 player at the position. Because that's exactly what happened with Ryan Tannehill.
I would tell you that somebody has to win this game tonight. But I watched 5 quarters of Philadelphia and Cincinnati this past Sunday, so anything is possible on Thursday Night Possible.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
United. All right, so time for some quick reads, and we start with Shefty on the latest with the Raiders mask situation for Monday night.
Well, Phil, I think there are people that are upset about this, the fact that the Raiders were spotted in an indoor facility without masks, and it was a charitable endeavor for Darren Waller, but the fact of the matter is teams know the protocols that they have to follow. John Gruden already fined earlier this year $100,000. And the Raiders know that their players need to be smarter about this.
Yeah, no margin for error here. This big game between the Bills and the Raiders. Dan, what are you watching?
I want to watch the front for the seven for the Bills start to play a little bit better. You know, their secondary statistically doesn't look like it was last year, but Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes and Trent Murphy, Matt Milano and Edmonds, I want to see you guys up your level, because to become the championship football team that I think you're trending towards, your offense is certainly there. I want to see this front seven dominate. A versatile and diverse offense for the Raiders. Get back to playing some dominant football as a front seven.
How about you, Marcus?
Josh Allen, continue to see where you're going. Listen, man, there's a little video floating around of some mistakes and opportunities that other defenses have had to pick the ball off from Josh Allen, but he is balling out of his mind. Make sure you're continuing to clean up the little things, continue making plays. Be interested to see how he does against this Raiders defense.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And week four will mark the first ever matchup between Dak Prescott and Baker Mayfield, but the two share quite a few similarities, believe it or not. Both were rookie standouts, with Mayfield setting the rookie passing touchdown record in 2018 and Prescott winning Rookie of the Year in 2016. Now, both struggled against playoff teams last season, going to combine 3-11 in those games with 16 touchdown passes to 19 interception, but Prescott and Mayfield are off to strong starts each this season, each posting a total QBR of 76, ranking 8th and 9th in the league, respectively.
Yeah, I'm looking at the other side of the ball, Dan, and obviously we've been talking about and lamenting about how good the Dallas Cowboys offense is, but this defense is terrible. Let's just be honest. And when you're talking about Baker Mayfield and his ability, what Kevin Stefanski is doing with him offensively, they're giving people a lot of problems. They've become a balanced offense and kind of covering for Baker Mayfield. But when you look on the side of the ball for the Dallas Cowboys, who scares you? I mean, Aldon Smith hadn't played football in 4 years, and he's the best defensive player. When is the money going to show up? DeMarcus Lawrence, I know, has some injuries. He's a $100 million defensive end. When is Jalen Smith going to start asserting himself? A young secondary that's had some trouble in coverage. We saw him play against Seattle. Dallas's offense is going to have to be their defense. And this is one of those tale of the tapes. I like comparing football to other sports when it's applicable. You look at boxing, right? What style of game is going to take hold and take shape early in this game? Because if Cleveland gets up, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt might run for 250. If Dallas gets up, then you put Baker Mayfield in a situation where they have to push the ball downfield to OBJ and Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper and get these guys involved. I'm interested to see the first quarter, first 20 minutes of this game, and it will tell you a lot about how the day is going to go. But if Dallas gets behind to Cleveland and they are able to hand that ball off time and time again, look out. Dallas is going to be 1-3.
Yeah, well, a little birdie told me that Jerry is like one bad defensive performance away from calling Swagoo to come back for some reinforcements. But on the other side of the ball, Marcus, we talk about that. No, not happening. All right, we like you here at ESPN plenty, so we're good to hear that. But the Cowboys on defense have some problems you just mentioned. But offensively, they've been so banged up along the offensive line. Zach Martin finished the game last week playing right tackle. How on earth are the Cowboys going to handle Mr. Wrecking Ball himself, Myles Garrett?
They're not. Quite frankly, Phil, look, guys like this, they'll find ways to make plays, right? It's just like Aaron Donald not coming alive against the Bills and really creating those game-changing type plays till the end of the game. You can run some bootlegs away from Myles Garrett. You could slide the protection towards him. You could put Zeke over there to chip, but you can't do that every play. You can't do that when game time situations present themselves. You will have a left tackle out there standing out there trying to block Myles Garrett. And look, I don't care if it is the top left tackle in the NFL or right tackle or whoever the hell you want to put out there. Anthony Munoz ain't coming out of retirement. Jonathan Ogden ain't coming out of retirement. Ain't nobody over there like that. Ain't nobody in the league like that. Myles Garrett will have his way. We saw Dallas offensive line against Seattle give up a sack on a three-man rush at the end of a game in a crucial situation. And we also saw him give up a pressure, which Dak was able to evade, get his hands on the ground, which ended up resulting in the interception. Myles Garrett is going to make plays. You just have to make sure those plays aren't plays that's going to wreck the game.
I think a big thing for the Cleveland Browns defense, Denzel Ward's playing really good football, but they got to communicate better in their back end. Dallas is going to throw a lot of crossing stuff at you, and they had free runners in the secondary last week, so communicate better. But to Marcus's point, I disagree a little bit with that, Marcus, that if the Cowboys jump up, the Browns are done. I disagree. They can still run their offense and operate. Now, if the Cowboys start this football game like they have the first 3 weeks and they do fall down, it's a wrap. They will not get the football back. And not only that, that will allow the Browns to dictate what they want to do. You know what defense has given up the most play action pass touchdowns in the NFL this year? the Dallas Cowboys. So if you fall down and Stefanski goes run, you are going to be bombs away in the play action game.
Well, if the Browns do fall from behind this week, it could be a problem given the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. was added to the injury report today with a back issue. He was limited in practice. Now, doesn't seem like he's going to miss Sunday, but he won't be 100%. New on NFL Live, we have an update here on the situation we've been monitoring all day. And Shefty, what more can you tell us about the Titans?
Well, Field, a short time ago, the Tennessee Titans placed their cornerback, Christian Fulton, on the reserve COVID-19 list, which means he is the fifth player there to be placed on that list, joining linebacker Camille Corrier, as well as defensive lineman Daquan Jones, long snapper Bo Brinkley, and practice squad tight end Tommy Hudson. Those are now the five Titans who have been identified clearly as testing positive here and being placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. So again, this afternoon, Christian Fulton becomes the latest Tennessee Titan to be added to that list.
This is one of those stories that will continue to be updated seemingly by the minute. Thank you for that, Shefty, as we continue to monitor all the latest in this daunting situation with COVID-19. As we keep things moving along here on NFL Live, Marcus Spears, what are you watching for in this Colts versus the 3-0 Bears matchup?
Listen, it's all about Nick Foles, and can he continue to galvanize this team and push them forward? We're talking about a really good defense in the Chicago Bears, possibly being a quarterback away, or Nick Foles hitting lightning and striking what we've seen him do from time to time and putting this team over the top to compete with Green Bay in their division. I'm interested to see how Nick Foles progresses going forward.
Yeah, hopefully Nick Foles doesn't actually hit lightning, but am I the only one that thinks the Colts can make some noise in the back half of this season? Mainly because the way their defense is starting to play. DeForest Buckner getting double teamed a ton. Justin Houston's back to being one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, and that zone coverage that Eberflus deploys, just really good eyes on the football. They're creating turnovers. This team is built to be a problem for teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens.
How about the Bears, though? If they win, they go to 4-0 for the first time since 2006. They haven't made the Super Bowl this year. All right, so the Bucs host the Chargers. Tom Brady versus a guy almost literally half his age in Justin Herbert. And, yeah, we're going to learn about this Bucs offense, though, on Sunday. What specifically are you watching for?
Yeah, two big things. First of all, we will know exactly how Tristan Wirfs is settling into being a tackle. And is he a Super Bowl caliber tackle for Tom Brady to go to Super Bowl? Because he will not see a rush like he will on Sunday with Ingram and Bosa. And so we're going to know exactly where they stand and if Tristan Wirfs, again, is worthy of being the starting right tackle for Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl. The second thing is this. You do not throw the football downfield against this Chargers defense. It's just schematically you're not set up to it. So Wirfs has got to play well, and he's going to get challenged by those rushers, and he's played good so far. But I want to know exactly where this offense scheme-wise stands. Because if Tom Brady's catching and throwing, which is what you should do against this defense, it is that cover three scheme where they're going to trust those four rushers to get on the quarterback, catch, get the ball out, catch to get the ball out, get completions, which is what we saw Tom Brady do when he would play this style of defense in New England. If I see that, that's big time. Because that tells me that Bruce Arians has bought into Tom Brady distributing the football. This is going to be the offense where Tom goes, all right, I'm going to get it out. We're going to utilize some screen to take care of this big-time pass rush, something Bruce Arians hasn't done a lot. We're just going to make sure we're getting the ball out of Brady's hands. If I see that, man, I feel really good about the Buccaneers' offense scheme-wise. If I see them trying to throw the football downfield, that is a huge red flag, and that would be alarming because it tells me Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich have become a little hard-headed and trying to run their offense of the past.
Dan, I'm with you. It's more than what meets the eye in this game. And listen, we can put emphasis on every single game that's played every Sunday, Thursday, or Monday in the NFL. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming into this season, especially when they were about to play against the Saints in week one, everybody talked about the Saints and Sean Payton and the amount of plays that he and Drew Brees had should be an advantage compared to Brady, Arians, and Leftwich. Now we're starting to see some of these things progress. We talked about Gronk not being involved in the game plan. He was this last game they played. We talked about Mike Evans and the synergy between him and Tom Brady. You see that. It's a hurtful thing that Godwin is out because you want to continue to see that relationship build. But everybody watch closely because Dan made a great point. Bosa, Ingram, those guys are going to cause havoc, cause Tom Brady to get the ball out of his hands. But remember, this is the same defense that played four-man rush and kept everything in front of them against the Kansas City Chiefs. If we are talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being Super Bowl contenders and possibly representing the NFC, we will look back at some of the operation in this game and say, okay, this is when we begin to see how they could go along.
Certainly be interesting, but Dan, just keep it rolling here with this game. And we talked about the pressure on both sides. Just worth noting that Melvin Ingram currently on IR for the Bucs. So one less for the Chargers. So one less challenge for the Bucs. Yeah, banged up. Kind of came out of nowhere.
But here's the thing.
Joey Bosa by himself is a big time, right?
Yeah. And so you know that the quarterback is disciplined enough to play this way. You know that the quarterback is disciplined enough. I want to see if the play callers are disciplined enough because that will tell me the transition has been made to us going, we're with Tom Brady. We are all in, and we are, because this is what it's looked like the past 2 weeks in the first half. If you watch the Carolina game and you watch the Denver game, it has been catch ball, distribute, catch ball, distribute. I want to see it happen against, I'm telling you, this Chargers defense gives up like 200 yards through the air a game. Yeah. They've got to play discipline, and that will tell you everything you need to know about where the Bucs are headed.
So actually, two great pass rushes involved in this game, even if Melvin Ingram is not there, because the Bucs pass rush has been getting after it this season. They rank second in the league in pass rush win rate, and the Chargers, on the other side, have the eighth worst pass block win rate. So it could be a big day for Shaq Bear, who was just a baller this past week. That Tampa Bay defense is absolutely no joke.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it's time now for smart decisions provided by IBM Watson, and Patrick Mahomes would make just about any head coach look smart. Combine him with Andy Reid's play calling, and the duo has looked unstoppable at times. Something Bill Belichick took note of this week.
I think Andy, continually comes up with, little wrinkles here and there. Those gadget plays and those, formations that are a little out of the ordinary, that'll pop up from time to time. They obviously put things in there to mix it up and give the defense a little bit of a different look. So, those are definitely coming in every game. A different one, ones that we haven't practiced, but that's, we'll have to follow our rules and handle those situations, when they come up.
You know, Marcus, I racked my brain to think of some brilliant question to ask you, and all I could come up with was, what makes these two coaches so brilliant?
Well, first of all, listen, in a day and age when all of the offensive minds like our own Dan Orlovsky want to be cool and they want to wear muscle shirts and they want to sit like Cliff Kingsbury in his nice mansion making all of this money at a young age, I'm happy to see two of the GOATs still doing it at the highest level, willing to adapt and do the things to keep up with what the trends are in the NFL right now. You got Bill Belichick, who is the Yoda of defense, and he's shown he had to spank Sean McVay in the Super Bowl and say, settle down. It's still somebody here that can match up to your offense. And then Andy Reid, obviously, with the arsenal that he has with Patrick Mahomes saying, yo, I can do my old school thing. I can do the new school thing. Just tee it up and I'll show you what I need to do. Now, I'm going to go throwback Thursday and show you why Andy Reid is the Yoda of offense. I take you all the way back to the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. And just look at the ideas and the wrinkles. This is a pirouette to Patrick Mahomes being not under center and Damian Williams being handed the ball off and getting in the end zone. These are the things Dan has highlighted so much and taught me so much about the little nuances of what offensive coordinators can do, what head coaches, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, cut from the old school but doing the new school thing. You got two Yodas that's been in this game for a long time about to match up with each other. And I don't know if I've been more excited about a coaching matchup in a while in the NFL outside of these two dudes.
Yeah, I can't wait for this one on Sunday afternoon. So, Dan, how do you scheme up if you're the defensive Yoda and Bill Belichick against a coach like Andy Reid, who is the offensive Yoda?
Now, don't ask me. Well, let's show you what Bill Belichick likes to do. Two things we know, right? They're going to take away your really good tight end and play man coverage. First of all, we're not just going to hit Travis Kelce at the ball. We're going to hit him and then follow him. But let's rewind it a little bit because I want everyone to see the play. Again, it's man coverage. That's what the Patriots want to do. But there's a lot of nuance to this. This backside safety is a robbing safety. The Chiefs know they want to play man, so they have this crossing concept. But as this robbing safety drops down, he sees the crosser coming, and it becomes this game of pass off where Jonathan Jones, the one covering it, will trade him off to that robbing safety, and then he becomes really what's known as a thief safety to the field. That allows that backside corner, J.C. Jackson, to run underneath. He knows now he's got help over the top, and it becomes his interception. That's the only team in the NFL that tries to do that, and that's the only team in the NFL that can do that. But here's the caveat, and this is why it's difficult. When people hear man coverage, they think it's just that guy and that guy. You got for that guy versus this receiver. Now, it does sometimes become that, where it's just one-on-one. But then the Patriots will play one robber, where that backside safety will drop down and everyone will play outside leverage. And as an offensive play caller, you got to get things that are in-breakers. Sometimes they'll play one thief, where the safety from the field will drop down. And then you got to get layered routes running away from him. Sometimes they'll play two-man, where it'll be two zone safeties, but everyone play man coverage underneath on the inside leverage. Well, then you got to call plays that are out-breakers. Sometimes it's man-to-man coverage with one safety, inside leverage, and then you got to get pick routes. Sometimes it's zero coverage where everyone blitzes and the defenders are inside. The ball's got to come out to an outbreaking route. There's so many levels to New England's play coverage or man coverage, and that's the challenge for Andy Reid and EB, is they got to dial up the right man play versus the right man coverage.
You better preach, Dan Orlovsky. I see I'm rubbing off on you a little bit now. There we go. But listen, this is also a part of the mentality and the mindset. I played for Nick Saban and Bill Parcells, who comes from the same coaching tree as Bill Belichick. And responsibility up front is one of the main key components to when you're trying to get dynamic offenses started. It was two things we wanted to do. We wanted to either dictate what the offense did by bringing pressure and speeding up the operation of the quarterback, or we wanted to make sure we funneled and kept guys in the pocket. And I'm going to show you what the ability is when you're trying to get Patrick Mahomes stopped. You want eyes back on him. Take San Francisco here. This is actually a defensive line mirroring the quarterback as they rush, keeping rush lane integrity. Pat Mahomes feels that pressure and throws the ball because he feels he's getting rid of his hand. You see the defensive end here. Now, this looks good until that inside move is made right there. And that's all it takes for Patrick Mahomes to buy more time, receivers to uncover, and get the ball down the field. Now, what you would say is, Marcus, well, that's pressure. That's making him get off of his spot. When you're dealing with really good quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, you want to keep him in the center of the pocket. Bill Belichick is one of the best at bringing a control rush. Right, can't wait to see it.
We've got great coaching points from both of you on both sides of the ball there. We can't wait for this game on Sunday. Of course, fans are permitted, at least in small quantities, here at Arrowhead Stadium. I need one more thing from each of you guys before we go. And, Dan, you start things off for us.
I want to throw a name out there for everyone to pay attention to this weekend. Trey Lance from North Dakota State, the quarterback that is likely going to be a top 10 draft pick, plays his one and only college football game this weekend against Central Arkansas. 28 touchdowns last year. Zero interceptions. If he has a really good showing, and I promise you, front offices will be there to watch, he will become a top 10 pick.
Yo, Dallas, what's up? Are we going to start to show up? Or is the money on the defensive ball side of the ball going to show up? Can you help Dak in this offense progress to being a real contender in the NFC? It's time to put up a shut up. You got a big game this week against the Cleveland Browns. It's time, Dallas, on defense. What you going to do?
Yeah, check this video out here of the Minnesota Vikings, who during practice today took extra measures. Of course, they play the Titans this past week. There's no such thing as being too protective. Masks and mouthwear for the Vikings to make sure they're all good. That's all we have here for NFL Live. The good news is we're right back tomorrow. Same time. Talk to you then.